Title: Keeping Plugin Choices Minimal and Effective Intermediate. Drum and Bass in Ableton Live. Alright, welcome in. Today we're going to level up your drum and bass workflow in a way that immediately makes you faster, more consistent, and honestly more dangerous in the best way. This lesson is about keeping your plugin choices minimal and effective. Not because plugins are bad, but because in D&B, speed and decisiveness are part of the sound. The genre rewards people who commit early, move fast, and build momentum. And the easiest way to kill momentum is scrolling through 20 EQs, 15 saturators, and 7 different secret sauce compressors. So the mission today is simple: fewer plugins, faster decisions, better sound. By the end, you'll have a D&B ready template workflow, a drum bus that slaps, a two-layer bass system that translates, a minimal return setup for space and grit, and a simple arrangement plan that gets you from an 8-bar loop into an actual drop. And you're going to define an allowed plugin list, basically a personal rule set that stops option paralysis before it starts. Let's jump in. Step 1. Build your allowed plugin list and actually stick to it. This is the big mindset shift. You pick one device per job. Stock first, because Ableton's stock devices are more than enough to make professional drum and bass, and they're fast. They load quickly, they're predictable, and you can reuse your settings across projects. Here's a strong starting list. For EQ, you're using EQ8. That's your main surgical and tone-shaping tool. For compression, keep it simple: Ableton Compressor for clean control and Glue Compressor for bus glue and smack. For saturation and drive, Saturator for warmth, clipping, density and pedal if you want aggression. For dynamics control, if you really need it, multiband dynamics. But treat that like a power tool. It can fix things, and it can also wreck things. For transient punch, drum bus. Super effective, super quick. For stereo and utility. This is one of the most underrated devices in Ableton. Gain, width, mono, it's the grown-up device. For reverb and delay, hybrid reverb and echo. For sidechain, use compressor in sidechain mode. If you own a dedicated shaper tool, fine, but it's optional. And if you insist on third-party plugins, keep it strict. One synth, one limiter, one clipper, one per category. That's it. And here's the rule that makes this whole thing work. If you want to add a new plugin to your list, you have to remove one, so your palette stays tight. Now, coach note: minimal plugin choices only work if you also limit where plugins can appear. I want you to build what I call decision rails. Decision rail number 1, the 1 EQ rule per channel. Put EQ 8 either first for cleanup or last for tone shaping, but don't casually stack 2 EQ 8s on every track. If you feel like you need another EQ, a lot of the time it's actually a sound selection problem or a routing problem. Decision rail number 2, the 2-stage processing rule. Most channels should be either corrective then character, like EQ or utility into saturator or drum bus, or character then corrective, like distortion first, then EQ to tame it. If you're adding a third stage, you need a clear reason. Catching peaks, gluing a group, forcing mono below a certain frequency, something specific. Decision rail number 3, use groups as plugin containers. Instead of sprinkling plugins across 10 tracks, put most of your processing on 3 groups: a drums group, a bass group, and a music or Atmos group. This keeps your sessions readable, it keeps CPU sane, and it makes /B decisions way faster. And one more: gain discipline. A shocking amount of "I need another limiter" is actually "my levels are messy." While you're writing, aim for peaks around -6 dB on the master. Give yourself headroom so you don't start solving loudness problems with extra processing. Cool. Now we build. Step 2. A D&B drum chain that works every time. Group your drum tracks. Think in a drum group with a break track, kick, snare, hats, percussion, whatever you're using. The goal is movement from the break and authority from the kick and snare. First, the break track. Drop in an amen style break or a clean modern break. Then EQ8. High pass around 30 to 50 Hz to remove rumble. If it feels boxy or cloudy, do a gentle dip around 250 to 400 Hz. Then drum bus, but subtle. Drive somewhere like 5 to 15%. Usually keep boom off, because we want your sub to handle the low end. Add transient, maybe +5 up to +20 depending on the break, and adjust damp if it gets harsh. Now kick. EQ 8 again. High pass around 25 to 35 Hz, just clearing sub rumble. If it needs weight, a small wide boost around 60 to 110 Hz can work, but don't overdo it. Then saturator on the kick. Use soft clip mode. Drive maybe 2 to 6 dB. And then trim the output so you're matching level. That's important. Always gain match when you add saturation, Otherwise, you'll think it's better just because it's louder. For the snare, EQ8, high pass around 90 to 140 Hz. If it's thin, a boost around 180 to 220 gives you body. If it's dull, a boost in the 3 to 7K range brings crack. Then, optionally, glue compressor, attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2:1. You're aiming for like 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on peaks. This is not crush the snare, it's make it sit like it belongs. Now the drum bus itself. This is where people go insane with chains. Don't. You need one clean stage and one character stage. On the drum group, glue compressor first. Set attack around 10 ms so you let transients through. Release around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, or auto if it feels right. Ratio 2:1. Set threshold for about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. That's your glue. Then drum bus. Drive 5 to 10%. Transients plus 5 to plus 15. Crunch 0 to 10%. And seriously, keep it small. Crunch is one of those knobs where a little can be perfect, and a bit too much turns your drums into a brittle mess. Then utility. If the drums feel too wide and weak in the center, reduce width a touch, maybe down to 80 to 100%. The goal is center punch. Quick teacher tip. Don't overprocess the drum bus early. Get the balance right first. A well-balanced drum group with minimal processing beats a badly balanced drum group with a master and chain on it every time. Step 3. Build a minimal bass system. Sub plus mid, and make it translate everywhere. This is where plugin chaos usually happens. So we're going clean and intentional. Create two MIDI tracks, sub and mid. On the sub track, use operator. Oscillator is set to sine. That's it. Then EQ8. Low pass around 80 to 120 Hz, steep if needed, because you want the sub to stay in its lane. Add utility and set width to 0%. Mono sub, always. Then adjust gain so it's strong but not eating all your headroom. Optional. A very light saturator on the sub. Soft clip-on, drive 1 to 3 dB. The point is a tiny bit of harmonic content so the sub translates on smaller speakers, not audible distortion. If you add harmonics, keep them controlled, and if needed, low pass again so the grit doesn't creep into mid-territory. Now the MIDI track. Use wave-eatable. Dock, powerful, perfect for D&B. Start with basic shapes or a growly wave-eatable. Then choose one character device, saturator or pedal. Pedal in overdrive mode can give really nice bite. Then EQ8. High pass around 120 to 200 Hz so the mid stays off the sub. If the sound is harsh, shape around 2 to 5K. Then auto filter for movement. This is where you get life without stacking 10 modulators. You'll map the cutoff to a macro later. Now group SUB and MID into a bass bus. On the bass bus, add compressor with sidechain from the kick. Sidechain on. Input your kick track. Ratio around 4:1. Attack 1 to 5 ms, release 60 to 140 ms. Match it to your groove. Aim for about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. This keeps the low end clean and gives you that rolling pocket. Then EQ8 on the bass bus if needed. Gentle cleanup. If it's muddy, a small dip around 200 to 350 Hz. Then utility if you need final gain trims, and just keep the low end disciplined. Minimal mindset here. Sub is weight, mid is vibe. Don't blur them by throwing the same distortion chain across both and hoping it works out. Step 4. Use return tracks instead of inserting effects everywhere. This is one of the biggest workflow upgrades you can make, because it gives you consistency across the whole track. You get depth and grit with 3 predictable knobs instead of 30 random instances. Set up 3 returns. Return A is space. Put hybrid reverb on it. Decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 ms to keep things from washing out the transient. High pass the reverb around 200 to 400 Hz to keep low end clean. Low pass around 8 to 12 k to keep it dark and controlled. Return bead is echo. Put echo on it. Time at 1/8 or 1/4. Feedback 20 to 35%. Filter it. High pass around 200 to 500 Hz and low pass around 6 to 10 k. A little modulation is great. Just enough to add movement without turning into a chorus mess. Return C is smash. This is your parallel grit. Put saturator on it. Drive 6 to 12 dB. Soft clip on. Then EQ8. High pass 150 to 300 Hz so your parallel channel doesn't mess with your low end. And tame fizz around 6 to 10k if it's spitting. Then you blend this return with send amount. That's your instant attitude knob. And it's way cleaner than inserting distortion on every drum channel. Coach note. Automate return sends like scene changes. Dry and tight in one section, then echo throws into transitions, then less reverb in the drop for punch, and maybe more smash only on fills. That's how you get arrangement energy without new devices. Step 5. Make arrangement decisions with constraints. You're going to start with an 8-bar loop, full groove, drums, bass, a hook, even if it's just an Atmos stab. Then turn it into 16 bars with evolution. Bars 9 to 16 should change something. Remove the kick for a moment, like bar 12, for a micro break. Add a one-shot vocal stab. Add an open hat every 2 bars. Automate that mid-bass filter slightly more open. Small changes, big momentum. Then build a drop structure. A common rolling format is 16-bar intro, 16-bar build, 32-bar drop, 16-bar breakdown, 32-bar second drop. And here's a minimal plugin trick that's very DNB. Make variation with automation and editing, and with resampling, not by adding new plugins. Which brings us to step 6. Commit with resampling. Once a sound is working, freeze and flatten it, or resample it to audio. Create an audio track, set input to resampling, record 8 to 16 bars of your mid-bass movement. Then slice it, reverse it, pitch it, rearrange it. This is classic jungle and DNB workflow. Make a few strong sounds, then edit aggressively. Now, quick list of common mistakes to avoid. 1. Stacking EQs because you might need it. Don't. 1 EQ8 on the channel, and maybe 1 on the bus if there's a real reason. 2. Multiple saturators across bass layers. Pick 1 distortion stage per layer maximum, then shape with EQ. If you keep adding drive stages, you lose clarity fast. 3. Adding reverb directly on kick and snare inserts. Use ends so you can keep punch and control the space. 4. Overprocessing the drum bus too early. Balance first, then glue. 5. Using problem solver plugins instead of fixing selection. If the snare isn't right, swap the sample before you build a 5-plugin rescue mission. Now some pro tips for darker, heavier DNB. Try pedal on the mid layer, but always filter after it. Drive into EQ8 with a high pass around 150 to 250, then auto filter for movement. That combo gets you aggression without ruining the low end. Use the smash return for grit without destroying transients. Parallel is your friend. Keep the sub clean and boring. I'm serious. The mid does the scary stuff. For atmospheres, use hybrid reverb and resampled noise. This audio version is shortened for playback.